sailed. I have moved about this world of ours, and ever in search of the finest of its kind, we bring you the tops in Spine Chillers.
This is Bruce Kaplan welcoming you to Radio Masterpieces, where every week you'll hear the best of the radio from the past century, from the 1940s and 1950s, from 9 o'clock till 10 o'clock p.m. This is Bruce Kaplan welcoming you back to another episode of Radio Masterpieces, where each week we look through the archives of the golden age of radio and try to give you the best of the best of the radio programs from long ago. Tonight will be no exception. We begin with a fantastic episode of Suspense. Suspense began in 1942 and continued to be one of the last programs to go off the air in the golden age of radio, 1963. And then we're going to listen to The Whistler, which also started in 1942. And it was in the golden age of radio, one of the highest rated programs there ever was, and so was Suspense. If you want to reach me, don't hesitate to write to bruce@radiomasterpieces.com, and I'll be sure and get back to you. We'd always like to get your input, what you'd like to hear in the golden age of radio. And now, we're going to begin our program with a little bit of music, just to put you in a cheery mood. And after that, you'll listen to two of the best mysteries that have ever been on the air. Thanks so much for tuning in. Have a fantastic weekend.
Aboard a butterfly and take off on the breeze. Let your worries flutter by and do the things you please. In the land where dollar bills are falling off the trees, on a dreamer's holiday. Every day for breakfast, there's a dish of scrambled stars. And for luncheon, you'll be munching rainbow candy bars. You'll be living a la mode on Jupiter or Mars on a dreamer's holiday. Make it a long vacation. Time there is plenty of. You need no reservation. Just bring along the one you love. Help yourself to happiness and sprinkle it with mirth. Close your eyes and concentrate and dream for all you're worth. You will feel terrific when you get back down to earth from a dreamer's holiday. Make it a long vacation. Time there is plenty of. You need no reservation. Just bring along the one you love. Help yourself to happiness and sprinkle it with mirth. Close your eyes and concentrate and dream for all you're worth. You will feel terrific when you get back down to earth from a dreamer's holiday.
From a happy dreamer's
Now, Suspense. Tonight brings you Van Heflin in Cornell Woolrich's famous 3 O'Clock, a suspense play.
Francie signed her own death warrant. She signed her own death warrant, didn't she? You're a good husband to her, and yet she's two-timing you with another man, isn't she? And you made up your mind weeks ago to kill her, didn't you? Well, now, at the last second, what are you waiting for? You've got everything down here you need to do the job. That box near the wall filled with explosive, two copper wires already capped. This alarm clock, what's holding you back? Memories of your honeymoon? She's two-timing you with another man. Weigh that in your hand. All right, then, get to work. First, set the alarm. When she gets back from shopping around 2:30, you better set it for 3 o'clock. Good. Now then, wind it up. Now then, put the cap into the wires, into the little holes you drilled in the box. Oh, no, wait. That explosive's kind of tricky, temperamental. Don't touch that box any more than you have to. First, attach the wire to the alarm clock. I wonder why more people haven't thought of this. Probably wouldn't know how to go about it if they did. There. Now the cap into the wires, into the box. Careful now, careful. There it is. Check it over now. You don't want any slip-ups. At 3 o'clock, the alarm goes off. It sets up a spark. The spark runs along the wires to the detonators in the box, and that's all there is to it. Don't just stand here. Get back downtown to the shop. What are you doing in my house?
Hey, Duke, somebody is home.
That'll hold him a couple of seconds.
Suddenly he's standing there. Must have been down the cellar all the time we was here.
And you said you cased this place for 3 days. Get me something to tie him up and let's
no.
go.
No. Don't tie me up. Don't die.
Slug him again. Okay. Cut the cellar down there?
Yeah.
See if there's any rope around.
Coil a rope on a shelf down there. I'll get it.
No, we'll carry him down and tie him up there.
No, don't tie me up. This house is...
Shut up, you. Oh. See if he has a handkerchief. Roll it up in a ball.
Listen to me. This house is...
All right, shove it in his mouth. Shove it in. Oh. Take off his belt and buckle it between his teeth, too. Fast. Okay.
What's he putting up such a fight about? This place is a lemon, nothing in it.
Take his legs. Okay. I did my last stretch just on account of leaving a guy in the open where he could put a squad car in my tail too quick. Okay, dump him here. Now, give me that rope. I'll hold him.
What's he putting up such a fight about? Look, mister, we ain't gonna hurt you. Just leave you here in the cellar. He still ain't convinced. I can't figure him.
Okay, that does it. Wait, I'll tie him to this pipe. Otherwise, somebody's liable to come home right after we leave and hear him thrashing around. These houses are like matchboxes.
I wonder what he's trying to say. Don't leave me tied up down here. I won't call the cops, I swear it. This place is gonna blow up, don't you understand? Explode. This house is gonna explode.
Who cares what he's trying to say? Let's go. We'll pull another job tonight. Hey. This time I'll do the picking.
Well, it looked like a good setup, standing way off like it is. Hey, mister, will you relax? You'll never get out of them nuts. What's he so bug-eyed about? What is it, mister? This alarm clock over here? What do you care what time it is? You ain't going anyplace. Hey, should we take the clock, Duke?
Nah, couldn't raise a buffalo nickel on it. 1:45. Let's go. We got work to do.
Right. Come back. Don't leave me here. This house explodes at 3 o'clock. Listen to me. It blows up in an hour and a quarter. Come back.
All set. Let's take the back way.
Gone. They're gone. The only people in the world who know where I am. I've got to get out. I can't get out. Nobody knows I'm here. 56, 57, 58, 59. 12 minutes to 2. It goes so fast, that second hand goes so fast. 5, 6, 7. Less than 72 minutes. Help me. Somebody help me. Help me. Help me. <laughs> 11 minutes to 2. Only 71 minutes. Not even that now. 3, 4, 5, 6.
Francie, come home and get me out of this. I love you. I can't help being jealous, can I? I'm sorry I tried to kill you. It's because I love you so much. I'm jealous. But you deserve it. You deserve to die for what you've done to me. Can't you imagine how I felt that day last month when I came home?
That you, Paul? Paul, you're home so early. Are you sick? Another one of your headaches?
Oh, I feel fine, honest.
Why are you home so early?
Well, I don't know. I just got lonely for you, and I said to myself, well, you're the boss, old boy. It's your watch repair shop. Now, if you want to close ahead of time, who's to say no? Come on, hold still a second. Your lipstick is smeary.
It is? Well, I was lying down. I guess
well,
I...
it's all right. Now, come on, pucker up. Well, you're smeared again.
Well, I'll fix it. As long as you're home early, why don't you rest a while? The morning paper's still in the den.
Oh, I guess I will at that. I had a heavy lunch, pot roast and potatoes and apple pie. And what'd you do today, Annie?
Oh, the usual. Cleaned the house, went marketing. Wish we could afford a car. I mean, isolated the way we are, walking 8 feet.
I sat down on the couch, and there it was in the ashtray on the end table. A cigar butt, still moist on one end, still warm on the other. Any visitors today?
What'd you say?
I said, any visitors today?
No. None. Not even a peddler.
You're a liar, Francie. You lied to me that time. 42, 43, 44, 45. No clock has ever gone this fast. Of all the thousands I've looked at and set right in my shop, not one has ever gone so fast. Its quarter hours go around like minutes, and its minutes like seconds. 3 minutes to two. That's cheating me. It's not keeping the right time. That second hand's whirling like a pinwheel. Make it stop, somebody. When the clock says three, the house explodes. Make it... Oh, somebody's at the door. Come in, please. Please, please come in and find me and let me out of here. Please, please, please.
Gas company.
The one call in all the day's routine from the earliest morning till latest night that can possibly bring anyone down here to the cellar.
Anybody home in there? Gas company? Anybody home?
I am. I'm down here. Don't wait for somebody to answer the door. It's not locked. Come in. Please, please. He's gone. No. He's coming around to the back.
Why don't we, what?
I said, why don't we go in and read the meter anyway, even if nobody's home?
Yes.
Company policy. You never go in to read a meter unless somebody's home. And sure, they're never home when you want them to be.
But I am home. I am. I'm right down here. I can see your legs through the window. All you have to do is to bend down and look in, and you'd see me. No, don't go away. Stay here. I'll kill you if you go, so help me, I'll kill you. No, I didn't mean that. Please stay. Look at the time. 1 minute past two. 59 minutes left. Not even an hour now. 59 minutes less 8, 9, 10, 11... How long 59 minutes seems when you're waiting for someone. Like the night that I waited for Francie to come home from a movie, and she was late. The night Francie was late coming home from a movie. Yes, in a pig's eye she was at a movie. She was with her boyfriend. Well, sure, I was worried. What did you think? You said you'd be home before 11, and here it is almost midnight. I was about to call the hospitals and the police.
Oh, Paul, I'm sorry. Really, I am. All those short subjects, and then the bus was late. I'm sorry you worried.
Oh, forget about it. How was the movie?
It was all right. Nice Western.
Oh, a Western? I thought you were going to see Three Musketeers.
I was, but I changed my mind. I saw Red River instead.
Well, I didn't know that was playing in the neighborhood.
Well, I went downtown. I thought as long as I'm out of the house, I might as well do a little shopping.
Well, the stores were open tonight?
No, I... Did I say shopping? I meant window shopping.
Oh. What was the movie about?
You know, Western. A lot of shooting and riding.
How was Gary Cooper's performance?
Oh, good. I've always liked him.
No, I didn't mean Cooper. Cooper's not in it. I meant John Wayne.
Oh, was that John Wayne? You know, they all look alike to me. Those big hats.
That was the night that she signed her own death warrant. Little things put the official seal on it, like the cigar butt in the living room, like the gasoline drippings on the street in front of our house, and we don't even own a car. And it wasn't a delivery truck either, because the drippings showed that it stood there a long time, an hour or more, and like the time last week when... The time. 12 minutes after two? No. Oh, no, that can't be. It was just 2 o'clock. It can't be that late already. 12 minutes past two... Only 48 minutes and... less than 48 minutes. It's 47, 56, 55, 54. Look at that second hand. Francie! She's in the kitchen. She's putting down her parcels. How can I make her hear me? There must be some way. And now she's at the hall closet. He must be hanging up her coat. Oh, Francie, thank you so much for coming home early. I love you so, and I need you. How could I ever have thought of hurting you? I must have been crazy, but I'm not now. Back to the kitchen. Why doesn't she come down here to look for something? She might stay up there all afternoon, lie down. She might wash her hair. She might stay up there till it's time to get supper ready. What if she does, there's no supper, no Francie, no me. Francie, come down here. I know that you can't hear me, but come down here, please. Please, come down here.
Hello? Yes, Dave. I just got in this minute. Oh, Dave, I'm all upset. I have $11 table money in the kitchen, and it's gone. And the wristwatch Paul gave me is gone, too. We must have been robbed.
She knows we've been robbed. I should get the police now, and they'll search the whole place, and they'll look down here.
Well, I'll look again, but I know it's gone. Paul will have a fit. No, I won't.
Honest...
No, we have to be so careful.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
I called Paul at the shop while I was out, and there was no answer. I hope nothing's wrong.
Can't you guess there's something wrong if I'm not in the shop?
But maybe you'd better come out. Okay, goodbye.
Yeah, that's good. Sure, come on. If I go, both of you go with me. What time is it? Oh, no. It can't be 19 past two. Only 41 minutes left. 33, 34, 35, 36. Tick-tock, tick-tock. Oh, there I go. Stop it, and think. Think fast. Think like you did last week when you came home and she threw her arms around you and hugged you and... Where, that little liar.
Hi, Paulie.
Hello.
No kiss?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Oh, what's the matter? Hard day? So hard you can't even force a smile? I'll make you smile. I'll make you laugh. Kissy, kissy, coo. Come on, smile. No, smile.
No. Stop tickling. Wait, will you? Cut it out.
What's it? This in your pocket?
Francie, don't.
A present for me?
Yeah, I said don't. Give me that.
All right. You don't have to grab. What is it?
Well, it's fertilizer. That's what it is.
Fertilizer?
Yeah, a sample package. I figured maybe we'd start a little garden in the back. A few flowers, maybe.
Oh. Well, that's a nice idea. That's just what I'll do.
Yeah, well, I'll keep it down in the cellar. The fella gave it to me, said that it should be kept in a cool, dry place. I'll buy the seed just as soon as you make up your mind what you want. Fertilizer. She never even suspected that it was an explosive. I brought other things home last week, too. Every day, something else. Some more sample packages of fertilizer, which I carefully packed into a soapbox that I had in the cellar. And copper wire and dry cell batteries. And this clock. And she never suspected a thing. She was so flustered trying to cover up the fact that she had a caller that I could have brought in a grandfather's clock under my arm, and she probably wouldn't even have noticed it. Oh, but, Francie, that doesn't matter now. If you'll just come on downstairs. He's here. Her boyfriend's here.
Hello, Dave.
Well... Turn up yet?
No, and I haven't heard anything from Paul either.
The police will think I did it, I suppose.
Well, don't say things like that. Come on into the kitchen. Coffee's ready.
What are they going to do? Just sit there? Don't they know that it's 28 minutes to three? Only minutes left now. Minutes, not even a full half hour anymore.
Don't you think we ought to tell Paul about us?
I don't know. How'll he take it?
He Paul isn't narrow-minded. We can't keep on like this. It's better to go to him ourselves and tell him about you than wait till he finds out. He's liable to think something else entirely.
What's she talking about?
I know he didn't believe me that night when I helped you find the furnished room and told him I'd been to a movie. I'm so nervous and upset all the time. I feel as guilty as if I were one of those disloyal wives or something.
Oh, didn't you ever tell him about me at all?
I told him you'd been in one or two little scrapes, but I let him think I'd lost track of you and I didn't know where you were anymore.
Well, that was her brother she said that about.
I'm gumming things up for you, all right. An escaped convict for a brother.
Oh, Francie, I didn't know. Why didn't you tell me it was your brother? Why didn't you tell me?
Let's go downtown and talk it over.
No, stay here. Don't go downtown. Stay here.
You shouldn't be seen with me. You would get into trouble yourself. Telephone Paul to come here instead.
Yes, stay here with me. Please, stay.
I'm not afraid.
What can I do? What can I do? This pipe leads upstairs. Hit it with something. With what, though? What? My head.
What was that?
What? I didn't hear anything.
I thought I heard a noise in the cellar.
Yes, you did. You did. It's me. It's me.
Want me to take a look?
Yes.
No, I guess I was wrong. Let's go, Dave.
Francie! Come down here, look. Only 22 minutes left. Mama, it's gained another minute. Help me, Mama.
Be careful what you're doing, Bobby.
What? Oh, that's a kid bouncing his ball against the house. Yeah, it's a little kid.
Bobby, come away from that cellar.
Oh, no, window. No, let him stay. Stay there, Bobby. Don't move.
Did you hear what I said, Bobby?
Bobby, just turn your head this way and you'll see me. A little more, Bobby, that's it. He's looking right at me, but he doesn't see me. Don't you see me turning my head from side to side, back and forth? He sees me.
Bobby, what are you doing?
Mommy, look.
Does he understand what he sees? Oh, if he were only just a few years older, a child of 7 or 8 could understand that.
Bobby, are you coming? I'm waiting.
Stay where you are, Bobby. Make her come to you.
Did you hear what I said? When I call you, I want you to come to me.
Mommy, look. Funny man.
Why, Mommy can't peek into strange people's houses. Come on, dear.
Funny man. Tied up.
Yes. Well, say goodbye to the funny man tied up.
Bye-bye, funny man tied up. Bye-bye, funny man tied up.
Let it blow up. What do I care? No. How much time is left? 10 minutes? Well, someone could come down here now, or even 6 minutes from now, or 7, and I could still escape. 42, 43, 44. The clocks are beginning to look like people, like Mama. Oh, my head hurts. Mama, I'm sorry for what I've done. Paul's sorry. He won't do it again, honest. Just let him go this time and not punish him. He's learned his lesson. He'll never do it again. Poor Paul.
Oh, that must be Francie. It must have found the shop closed, trying to find out if I came back here while she was gone. When no one answers, will that tell her that something's wrong? Why should she think I'm stretched out down here in the cellar if I don't answer the phone? Bye-bye, Francie. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Tick-tock. Bye-bye. Tick-tock. 7 minutes to 3. In 7 minutes, the alarm goes off. 7 minutes to 3, the alarm rings for me. That's a poem, Francie. It's a funny poem. 7. Please let time stand still. 7. Now it's 6.
What a precious number six, so round, so comfortable. Let it be six forever, not five or four, but six for all eternity. Let time stand still at six. Oh, that's five, 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 four, four. Bye bye, five. Polly says bye bye, five.
Good morning, Polly, dear. Good morning. Wake up, sleepyhead. Wake up. Do you know what time it is?
No. What time is it?
Take your head out from under the pillow and see for yourself.
All right. It's exactly 1 minute to three. 1 minute to three. Oh, I was dreaming. 1 minute to three, not even a minute. Barely 50 seconds. 50 seconds to go. 50 seconds to live. Help me, Mama. Help me. Francie, Paul needs help. He dies in 40 seconds. 39, 38, 37. He's not a bad little boy. He always means well, so help him. Help, little Paul. Mama. Mama, where are you? Quick, I haven't got much time. I have 20 seconds. 19, 18, 17, 16, 15, 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Take it easy, man. The doc's working on him. Meantime, just a couple more questions.
All right, officer.
You say when you came in, he was all tied up and this alarm clock here was ringing.
Yes.
I say.
Nancy?
Yeah, Doc?
Dead. With heart failure.
Paul!
I'm sorry, man. Now, look, just one more thing in this box. There was some wires going to it from the clock, and I pulled them out. Do you know what was in it?
This box?
Yeah.
Nothing. It used to have some fertilizer in it, but I took it out this morning and used it. I've been trying to raise flowers in the back of the house. Paul loved flowers.
Valley 103.1 FM.
It was early evening, and the offices of Rogers and Bowman, investment counselors, had been closed for nearly 2 hours. The rows of desks were deserted, and the only light slanted in through the frosted glass partition from the outer reception room. But at the rear of the office, Henry Hutton kneeled in front of an open safe, shuffling hurriedly through a sheaf of papers spread out before him. Finally, he selected three negotiable bonds of $1,000 denomination, replaced the others, and, after closing the safe, started out through the open door to the reception room. And then...
Oh, Mr. Hutton.
Oh, Charlie. What are you doing here?
Worked late. I was just leaving.
But I saw you leave at 5.
Oh, I just went down to grab a sandwich. Came back, finished up the filing.
Oh, I see. Well, it's very commendable. See you in the morning, Charlie?
Sure, Mr. Hutton. Oh, Mr. Hutton.
Yes?
Did you, lock the safe okay?
Naturally.
Good. Just wanted you to be sure.
Well, I'm glad you're so careful, Charlie, but everything's okay. I just came back to pick up a couple of bonds from my aunt. She handled her account, you know. She wants to use them in a little real estate deal in the morning. See?
Night.
Good night, Charlie.
Charlie worries you, doesn't he, Henry? You wonder if he accepts your explanation. Part of it is true, of course. They are your aunt's bonds. But you took them for yourself to cover today's wrong guess on the stock market, just as you've done many times before. Charlie presents a problem to you, and your thoughts are on him as you hail a taxi and ride out to the party you're attending this evening. In these expensive surroundings, you hope to forget the problem of Charlie's sudden intrusion at the office and the pressure of continually losing your aunt's money on the stock market. As you take a drink from the buffet table, you see a beautiful reason to forget your troubles.
Hello.
Hello.
Nice party, isn't it?
Well, all of a sudden, it seems very nice. Never seen you before, have I? I mean, I've been to lots of parties out here.
I just came out from the East.
Oh, on vacation?
No, I'm going to stay here. I've taken a house.
Your husband here with you?
I'm not married.
Oh, well, that takes a load off my mind. I don't think I'd have ever recovered if you had been. My name is Hutton, Henry Hutton.
Lisa Morell.
Lisa?
Mm-hmm.
That's nice. Very nice. Dance, Lisa?
I'd love to, Henry.
Lisa's just the girl you've been waiting for, isn't she, Henry? And you manage to spend most of the evening in her company. Finally, as the party draws to a close and you're about to phone for a taxi cab, Lisa stops you. She has her own car. And when you slide under the wheel of her cream-colored convertible upholstered with leopard skin, you're even more impressed. Then several minutes later, you pull the car to a stop in front of the palatial residence she's taken in Northridge.
It's so late, Henry. I think you better take my car. I'll have my chauffeur pick it up tomorrow.
Oh, no. No, that's too much trouble, Lisa.
No.
There's an all-night taxi stand a couple blocks from here. I'll just walk down and get one there.
Well, you're welcome to the car.
Sure I am. It's not necessary. Lisa, how about dinner tomorrow night? Or am I a little quick?
I'd have been disappointed if you hadn't had.
Swell. I'll pick you up around 7.
I'll be waiting.
Well, Henry, you found an answer to your dreams, haven't you? If you can only marry Lisa Morell and her money, your problems will be over. And during the next couple of months, you do everything you can to impress her. You take her everywhere, using money from your aunt's bonds as often as necessary. And finally, your efforts are rewarded. Lisa agrees to marry you. And you're sure your worries are over. Then a few days later, on your return to the office following the luncheon.
Hi, Mr. Hutton.
Charlie.
Well, you just missed seeing your aunt.
Oh, she was here?
Yes. I had quite a chat with her. She went to lunch with Mr. Rogers.
How long ago did they leave?
Just after you left.
Oh, do you know where they went?
No. But I heard your aunt say something about going to her attorney's after lunch.
Her attorney's? What about?
Well, how would I know? I only talked with her a couple of minutes.
Well, she loved to talk, Charlie. What did she have to say?
Oh, nothing in particular.
Oh.
Just kind of rambled on.
Oh, yeah.
Politics.
Sure.
Mr. Rogers. Stuff like that.
You know something, Charlie? You're a pretty smart guy for your age. You know how to handle people. I'm going to see that you get a raise in salary. And you can count on this going through, too.
Gee, that'll be swell. Only, I don't quite...
Well, I think, for instance, the night you saw me pick up those bonds in the safe. A lot of guys your age would have told somebody in the office about it, but...
Well, it wasn't any of my business. You're the office manager. Yeah,
exactly, but between you and me, it could have been a little embarrassing. You see, I'd forgotten about it. I was supposed to take care of the matter a couple of days earlier, and, well, my aunt and, oh, Mr. Rogers, too, they like promptness.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean?
Yeah. Sure, Mr. Hutton. I see what you mean.
Good, good. I thought you would. And about that raise, Charlie, you can count on it.
You're upset and uneasy, aren't you, Henry? But as the afternoon passes, you're sure your fears are groundless. Charlie thanks you several times for your efforts in his behalf, tries desperately to please you in every way. And when he returns, Mr. Rogers is his usual self. Yes, you're sure you're safe for a while. But until you're married to Lisa and your aunt's bonds are replaced, your situation is increasingly dangerous. You decide you must marry quickly. Late that night, after another long evening of dancing and nightclubs, in the luxurious library of Lisa's palatial house, you carefully make the move you're certain will dissolve your problems and ensure your future.
And as you were sure it would be. It's a successful move, isn't it, Henry?
Would it make you awfully happy, Henry?
Oh, yes, it would, it would. Happier than you know.
Well, to tell you the truth, I guess I'm as impatient as you are. Am I saying this?
Oh, no, you're wonderful, Lisa. We'll be married Friday. Then we can fly to Yuma and fly back to some nice spot near the ocean, say Monterey, and spend a couple of days there, then come back to town. And maybe we'll take a real honeymoon.
Anytime you say, darling. Happiness?
I guess I'm the happiest guy in California.
Well, Henry, your problem is solved, isn't it? Once married to Lisa, you'll have everything you've dreamed of. You're sure she loves you. Her every action has shown you that. And you're certain that she'll never let the question of a few thousand dollars worth of bonds stand between her and happiness. For the next few days at the office, things move along as smoothly as usual. You approach Mr. Rogers regarding the raise you promised Charlie Rockwell. He listens attentively and agrees to grant it. When you tell Charlie the good news, his gratitude is obvious. That raise was a master touch, wasn't it, Henry? Just before the office closes, your aunt phones and asks you to have dinner with her at home.
You seem preoccupied, Henry.
Hmm? Oh, no. No, I was just enjoying the chicken, Aunt Ida. As no one can fix chicken quite like you, Aunt Ida.
Sure you haven't anything on your mind?
Well, of course not.
I think you have.
I don't know what you mean, Aunt Ida.
I know about the bonds, Henry.
The bonds? What bonds?
You've taken $11,000 of my bonds, Henry. What have you done with them?
You're wrong, Aunt Ida. Where did you ever get the idea?
You shouldn't have tried to bribe that young man in your office with a raise in salary. He thought nothing of your being at the safe that evening, but when you were so anxious no one should know of it, and then offered to get his salary raised, he became suspicious. Felt it his duty to speak to Fred Rogers.
Mr. Rogers, I just left him and he didn't
say... He doesn't know, Henry. When he phoned me to come in the night before last and listed the bonds which were missing, I told him you'd made several transactions for me and that everything was probably all right.
Then he doesn't know.
No one knows yet. I wanted to give you a chance to tell me your side. You have one?
Oh, I do, Aunt Ida. Believe me. You see, I got a tip on a stock from one of our biggest customers. It's his own company, you see. He assured me it would be worth double the market in a few weeks. I want to surprise you.
What's the stock, Henry?
It's international television.
I see. Very well, Henry. I want that stock by 12 o'clock tomorrow.
But Aunt Ida, then...
12 o'clock, Henry, and I hope you're telling me the truth. If not, you'll have to pay the penalty.
What do you mean by that?
I mean that I'll have to report the loss to Mr. Rogers. Ever since your parents died, I've tried to do the best I could for you. I secured your position with Mr. Rogers, but you're a bonded employee in a position of trust. I can't abide dishonesty in being in a relative.
Well, Henry, things aren't going so well, are they? Your marriage to Lisa Morell is only a few days away, but now you're threatened with disgrace, loss of position, imprisonment. You decide you must do something right away. As you glance around the room, you notice the electric clock on the wall. It's a little past 7, and you wonder if Lisa is at home. You'll have to turn to her now, won't you, Henry? Find some way to explain your sudden need for quick cash. It's not the way you'd hoped it would go, but it seems the only way out. So you hide your concern and smile as you turn to your aunt.
Don't worry, Aunt Ida. You'll have your stock by noon tomorrow.
I'm glad to hear you say that, Henry. That will make me very happy. Happier than you know.
I'm sure it will, Aunt Ida. Now, if you'll excuse me, I think I'll drive over to Hollywood. I want to pick up some pipe tobacco, a couple of other things. I'll be back before long.
You saunter out of the house, but once in your car, you don't waste any time heading out over the path toward Lisa's house in Northridge. All the way out, you debate just what to say, and finally decide on a story that you're sure will go over. You push the buzzer, and Sedgley, the butler, greets you at the door.
Good evening, Mr. Hutton.
Good evening, Sedgley. Is Miss Morell in?
Miss Morell has left, sir.
Left? You mean left town?
Yes, sir. This morning.
I don't get it, since you didn't say anything.
It was rather sudden, sir. You see, the Hawthorns arrived unexpectedly yesterday afternoon.
And who are the Hawthorns?
The people who bought this house. Her employers.
Her employers?
Miss Morell was secretary to the Hawthorns, Mr. Hutton. They sent her out here with the rest of the staff to get things in order.
Oh, but no, that can't be true. No, you must be mistaken, Sergeant.
It is true, Mr. Hutton.
Well, I can't believe it. Well, she led me to believe that she was wealthy, that all of this was hers.
I'm afraid Miss Morell had set her cap for you. She was trying to impress you, to make you think that she was as wealthy as yourself, sir. The Hawthorns were quite angry. When some friends of Miss Morell stopped over unexpectedly and they discovered this deception, they insisted she leave town.
Well, Sedgley, it seems she just wanted to marry me for my money.
Yes, sir.
Well, Henry, your vanity has played a cruel joke on you, hasn't it? Never once did it occur to you that the charming Lisa was anything but what she seemed. You were counting on her financial assistance, too. And now that she's gone, there's no chance to get the money for the stock your aunt expects by noon tomorrow. As you drive back home, you know you'll have to do something quickly. And you know what it is, don't you, Henry? Your aunt must die tonight. Once you accept that thought, a plan, a very simple plan, begins to form in your mind. And as you near your home, a comforting thought strikes you. Unpleasant as killing your aunt may be, there will be some financial gain. The remainder of her bonds, about $20,000. You can go away, Henry, and forget about everything. Yes, Henry, you're convinced that this is the one way out. If you put your car in the garage, you know exactly what you're going to do. When you enter the house, you find Mrs. Martin, your next-door neighbor, completing a visit with your aunt.
Oh, hello, Henry. I'm just going home.
You're not leaving on my account, I hope, Mrs. Martin?
Certainly not, but I must run along now, really. Henry will be glad to walk home with you, Margaret. Oh,
of course I will.
No need for that at all. It's only next door.
Just the same, I'll walk you over. You won't have to wait long, Aunt Ida. I'll... just be a few minutes.
All right, Henry. Good night, Margaret. Good night, Ida.
You don't have long to wait, do you, Henry? But if you say goodnight to Mrs. Martin at her door, you're sure your plan can't fail. It's so simple, so final, you're certain it'll work. Once you're back home, you go up to your room and dress for bed, leaving your aunt downstairs at her reading. When you come back downstairs, you're ready to put your plan into action.
Not going to sleep yet, Henry. I thought you'd gone up to bed.
Well, I just remembered something I wanted to check. Down in the basement, I noticed something the other day. It won't take long.
You turn on the basement lights and start down the stairs. You must move rapidly, Henry. You stop at the third step. With deft fingers, you stretch a thin wire across the step which you've taken from your room. Make certain it's taut, and wrap it securely at each side. Turn out the basement lights, and very quietly slip down the rest of the stairs. You're breathing heavily as you reach the basement floor. This next move is all important, Henry. You must be calm. And you are. You sound quite normal as you call upstairs.
Aunt Ida?
Yes, Henry? Did you call, Henry?
The basement lights are out. Can you bring me a fuse, please?
Of course. Just a moment.
You hear her footsteps overhead. She's gone for the fuse. And you stand there in the basement, waiting. Very shortly, you hear her light footsteps approaching the door at the top of the stairs.
Where are you, Henry? I can't see a thing.
Just come down a few steps, Aunt Ida. I'll meet you.
All right, Henry.
It's done, isn't it, Henry? Your aunt lies quite dead at the foot of the basement stairs. You stand there for a few moments and then slowly make your way up the stairs again, stopping at the fateful third step to remove the now broken wire, which you take back to the basement toolbox. Within a few minutes, you're back upstairs in your own bedroom. You rumple the bedclothes and open a book on the nightstand.
It's all part of the plan, isn't it, Henry? Part of the convincing story you must tell in a very few minutes. Then you place a call to your aunt's doctor, the one who's looked after her for years. It'll be coming shortly, Henry. And finally, you place another hurried call.
Hello, Mrs. Martin. Yes, this is Henry. Can you come quickly? It's Aunt Ida. Something horrible has happened. She's dead.
The next few minutes flash past. Mrs. Martin arrives first, and you tell her your story. The doctor arrives a short time later. And because it's an accidental death, the doctor calls the police. You play the grief-stricken nephew to perfection, Henry. And then finally, you're telling your story to the lieutenant.
And, you say you were reading in your room, Mr. Hutton?
Yes, that's right. I left Aunt Ida reading downstairs. I was in my room upstairs, reading. Mm-hmm. Suddenly the lights went out. The fuse must have blown. Well, I called down to Aunt Ida that I'd be right down, but she didn't hear me. When I started downstairs to her in the darkness, I heard her scream and the fall. And when I reached her, she was dead.
I know this is very difficult for you, Mr. Hutton. Just one more question now.
Yes.
How long would you say the lights were off?
About 5 minutes, I guess. Yes, I replaced the fuse and called the doctor and Mrs. Martin, and later we called you. That's all.
I see. Well, Mr. Hutton, I'm sorry. I'm sure your aunt missed her footing and fell down the stairs. It seems the only way it could have happened.
Lieutenant, I'm sure you understand that I'd rather not stay here tonight.
Oh, yes, of course I understand, Mr. Hutton.
I'll just go up and throw a few things in the bag. I won't be long.
You're welcome to leave whenever you like, Mr. Hutton. I have no further questions.
Well, Henry, it's over at last. For the first time in months, you can breathe easily. Secure in the knowledge that no more questions will be asked about your aunt's missing bomb. Downstairs, the lieutenant and his men are completing their routine examination. But as you pack your bag, you feel certain there will be only the formalities, and then what's left of your aunt's holdings will be yours. Not a great amount, but enough to let you get away and forget all that has happened. You're not even too angry about Lisa anymore, are you, Henry? You can almost smile now, as you realize that Lisa was after your money, just as you were after hers. And you're still thinking about her a few minutes later as you move down the stairs and into the living room, where Lieutenant Ames is talking with Mrs. Martin and the doctor.
Oh, Hutton, come in. Come in, will you?
Yes, Lieutenant?
I was just talking with the doctor here. I understand that you're with Rogers and Bowman, the firm that handles your aunt's finances.
Well, yes, Lieutenant, I am, but I don't quite
see... Your aunt's accidental death was quite convenient for you, wasn't it, Hutton?
Well, I don't know what you mean.
I mean those bonds you stole from your aunt. About $11,000 worth.
Stole? Why, that's ridiculous. I handled my aunt's affairs.
It's no use, Hutton. When you were upstairs, the doctor here phoned your aunt's attorney to tell him of her unfortunate accident. Then I spoke with him. He told me the whole story, Hutton. She told him yesterday she was going to expose you tomorrow.
Oh, but she didn't really mean that. My aunt and I were on the very best of terms. Won't be Mrs. Martin?
I'm sure she was quite fond of you, Henry.
Yes, her lawyer told me that. But he said she was a stickler for honesty, too.
Your aunt thought more of you than you realized, Hutton. When she came to see me a few days ago, and I had to tell her that she had only a few weeks to live, she told me she was going to turn over her entire fortune to you while she was still alive. In a few weeks, she'd been a very wealthy man.
Wealthy, Doctor? My aunt wasn't wealthy.
Her holdings exceeded $250,000, Henry. She thought you might accomplish more if you were unaware of it.
Oh, no. You must be wrong. She never spent anything she didn't have to.
She wanted you to have it all, Henry. She used to laugh about how surprised you were going to be.
I'm sorry, Hutton, but I'm going to have to arrest you for the murder of your aunt.
Arrest me? You can't tie me into this.
I think we can. 15 minutes ago, I was prepared to accept your story of an accidental death. But since you went upstairs, my men have turned up 2 or 3 very interesting things. Oh, this, for example.
Why, it's just an ordinary piece of wire.
That's right, Mrs. Martin. We found it coiled up in a toolbox down in the basement. But we found some other things, too, Hutton. Marks on the posts of the basement stairs. Marks made by this same piece of wire stretched across where your aunt tripped. Particles of rust from the wire, too. You stretched that piece of wire across the stairs?
I? Why, that's ridiculous.
Tell me, how long were the lights out, Hutton?
Well, 5 minutes or so.
How do you know it was 5 minutes? Did you check the time?
Well, of course not. After I heard Aunt Ida fall, everything else went out of my mind. I wasn't thinking about clock.
No, I suppose not. Too bad for you, you weren't, though. Will you step in here a minute, Hutton? I want to show you something.
What is it?
Up there, on the wall.
The clock?
An electric clock, Hutton.
Well?
Is this the room where your aunt was reading?
Yes, yes, I told you.
The lights were never out in here, Hutton.
What do you mean?
Come here, I'll show you. I'm going to pull the plug that leads to that clock. There you are. See that red dot in the face of that clock? That's what happens when the current goes off. If the current had ever been off in here tonight, that red dot would have been there. Well, it wasn't.
But wait a minute.
You've been lying, Hutton. Come on, we'd better go down to headquarters.
Life's crooked road, lots of things I never know, and cause of me not knowing I now find trouble got in the trail, spent the next 5 years in jail, should have read that detour sign. Detour, there's a muddy road ahead, detour. Paid no mind to what it said, detour. Oh, these bitter things I find should have read that detour sign. When I got right to the place where it said about face, I thought that all my worries were behind. But the farther I go, the more sorrow I know, should have read that detour sign. Detour, there's a muddy road ahead, detour. Paid no mind to what it said, detour. Oh, these bitter things I find should have read that detour sign. When I got stuck in the mud, all my hopes dropped with a thud. Guess that my heartstrings are made of twine. Had no willpower to get from the hole that I'm in yet. Should have read that detour sign. Detour, there's a muddy road ahead. Detour, paid no mind to what it said. Detour, all these bitter things I find should have read that detour sign. Should have read that detour sign. Should have read that detour sign.
Moved about this world of ours, and ever in search of the finest of its kind, we bring you the tops in Spine Chillers.
The door is slowly closing for Radio Masterpieces, but be sure and tune in again next week from 9 to 10 p.m. to listen to more wonderful mysteries from the 1940s and 50s. This is Bruce Kaplan signing off. Radio Masterpieces is a Seattle Miracle Incorporated production.